How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is December 10, 2013, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We are joined today by Michael Manna, otherwise known as Stevie Richards. And Stevie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Stevie, Michael, what is the best?
Stevie's fine.
Stevie's fine.
Let's not confuse the wrestling fans anymore that they get confused every Monday and Thursday night.
That's right. That's right. You didn't watch? Did you watch Raw yesterday?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't. I'm going to explain it right now. People think I just don't watch it for certain reasons. What other sport is on Monday and Thursday nights every week?
That would be football.
I'm a huge football fan. Always have been and always will be. So I just like watching Monday Night Football. No big deal.
Now,
no conspiracy theory.
No conspiracy theory. No.
Yeah.
Now, we, believe it or not, have a mutual friend who has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling. It is Andrew Zarian, who does the IAIB and the guys from Queens, I believe. And you've got a show on there. And I'm not sure if a lot of people are aware of the T4 show, but they should be if they know anything about tech or want to know anything about tech. And I guess, tell us a little bit about how that whole thing got started.
Well, T4 stands for Tech Today, Tech Tomorrow, and it started back in January 2007. Ironically enough, it had originally been pitched to WWE.com because they were trying to look for content from wrestlers outside of normal wrestling things to show that wrestlers had other interests and were multidimensional. And the guy's name was Brian, I think it was Kellen Saki or something like that, but I had pitched it. I put together a professional presentation, you know, about how it would go, about the format, everything. And he came up with the bright idea that every week someone would hit me in the head with a cell phone to end the show. And I said, well, that's the stupidest fucking idea I've ever heard in my life. So I think I'll just do it on my own. And that's how T4 show started.
Now, you, I guess you went to school for broadcasting, and, I mean, is this something, you've been everywhere. I mean, ECW, you know, you even had the run in TNA just a couple of years ago, I think after you'd gone to broadcasting school. But was it just kind of like, well, you know, not going to be wrestling forever. What interests me right now? Let's do some more with it.
No, actually, it's the opposite. I never went to broadcasting school. I went to college, but I never went for broadcasting. Connecticut School of Broadcasting had asked me if I would like to teach some workshops, and they almost had considered bringing me on as part-time or even full-time faculty to teach all the stuff that I knew about, you know, using computers and podcasting, audio equipment, even video editing, on a beginner level to teach that kind of stuff. But, you know, the credit crunch happened and all those schools seemed to shut down for a while. So that never came to fruition. But that's where the Connecticut School of Broadcasting opportunity came along, not because I was a student.
I see.
It was a really good school, so, but I didn't go there.
Now, I want to ask a couple of tech questions before we get into pro wrestling, because I'm very interested.
You're losing everybody right now.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You go too far in the tech, the wrestling fans get angry.
Well, that's they'll deal with it here for a bit. The smartwatch. I'm very interested in this. I guess there's a video up on the T4 show page. I actually didn't have a chance to watch it before we started, but it's looking at various smartwatches, and you know, we've got cell phones, and the idea of a smartwatch. What are your thoughts on it in terms of, is this something that you would, that you personally would buy, or do you think it's just too much?
I personally have bought one. I bought the Pebble Watch.
There you go.
I bought the Pebble Watch, and I ended up using that video because I also have the Galaxy Gear with my Note 3, and I have something called a Meta Watch, which is also an extension of your smartphone like the other two. I don't like to have it too complicated. I think, you know, people think smartwatches have to do everything. The Pebble serves a great purpose for me. Just like when you called, I had my phone in my pocket, and I don't have the ringer on because I'm in a certain place where I can't have the ringer on. So I felt the watch vibrate, saw you were calling, and was able to answer the call through the watch. You know, now if it was something I really didn't need to take at the time, or even a text message or an email that I didn't need to reply to, it's sort of like a triage. You know, it really makes you more efficient. Think about how many times you take your cell phone out of your pocket or your backpack or anywhere per day where you're like, oh, I don't have to get that, and you put it right back where you got it. I think it really serves that purpose. When it goes outside of that and they try to overcomplicate it like Galaxy Gear and make it very expensive too, then that's going to fail.
So basically, it's not like you're getting a watch to replace your cell phone. It is working in tandem with your cell phone and other devices.
Yeah, it's like more of a dumb terminal, an extension of your smartphone for that. So, as long as you say that, like, everybody wants all these notifications and all these things coming through, and I'm sure you get inundated with them and you get annoyed by them. All I want to know is calls, texts, and emails, and I can handle them appropriately, either handle them or just put them off until I'm ready to take them or answer them. So it serves a great purpose for me that way. Plus, it's waterproof. I can take it in the pool. I can shower with it. I can wash dishes with it. So it's kind of easy to bang around, and it's pretty durable. The Apple Watch I'm talking about.
Yeah, now when I was in high school, we had pagers, and then later we had those big, bulky cell phones. And at the time, nobody ever imagined that we'd have these phones that were essentially like these computer devices. You can go on the internet, you can text, you can call. I mean, maybe some people had that vision back then, but it kind of just kind of exploded out of nowhere. And now, I don't say everybody has a smartphone, but more and more people do. And do you see the smartwatch as something like that, that, in 10 years, everybody's going to be wearing a smartwatch, or do you think it's still kind of going to be a niche thing?
I think the only way that it's really going to be mass accepted, or, wearables are, they're called wearables, whether they're a necklace, a ring, a watch, wearables are the next frontier for this type of thing. And the only company that can really bring it to the masses and make people use it without having to, quote, try to understand it is Apple. So when that iWatch eventually comes out, hopefully this coming year, I think then you're going to see, just like with the iPhone, it's just going to take over the market.
I had a buddy on the other day that was talking about tech, and my last question to him will be my last tech question for you, and that is, what is on the horizon next 2-3 years that you in particular are really excited about?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I would have to say probably the iWatch, just because the Xbox One and the PS4 are already here, so my video game thing is already kind of satisfied. I'm waiting for an Xbox One, by the way. It's going to get delivered today. But I think the iWatch and some kind of fitness wearable, for me personally, is something I'm looking most forward to. And I think that's a lot of things that have come in the market in the past year. And like I said before, once Apple does it right, which these companies are doing it, but once Apple does it right, that's going to be the next thing. That's going to be the next iteration of the iPhone, next iteration of when the iPad came out, and it'll definitely make Apple a lot of money.
You mentioned fitness. Have you seen the barbed wire? I mean, I'm sure you've seen Barbed Wire City. There's a lot of guys from that generation that are in really, really rough shape now. And if I recall correctly, you first suffered a serious neck injury in, was it 1997?
The initial one was 96, actually, in New York, my luckiest state ever. So, yeah, 96 was the initial one. The big one with the guardrail was in 97 in Buffalo.
Okay, so 96 and 97, I mean, you were having neck injuries. And mm-hmm. guys in ECW that were starting to have physical issues in 1996 and 1997, I mean, a lot of them are in bad shape, and some of them are no longer with us. And here you are, and you appear to largely be doing great. And you mentioned the fitness, and you're certified in DDP yoga. We'll talk about that here in just a second. I mean, first off, just kind of take us through the status of your neck and what various injuries you have right now, and how you're feeling.
I feel great. I feel great from head to toe. I feel great outside the normal aches and pains of anybody else who's done anything athletic as a career, or even, on a regular basis. My neck is a little sore here and there. It was definitely sore when I went to Kansas City this past weekend. It was like 4 degrees. My joints felt like there was like gunshots going off every 5 seconds. But I feel great. And it isn't just the DDP yoga, although at 42 years old, every guy's going to come to that point where they're going to have to adjust their workout. They're going to have to make adjustments. They're going to make some compromises on weightlifting and really focus on more, health and fitness and wellness type routines. And I still love to lift weights, do cardio, but DDP yoga actually takes the main role, and all the other stuff takes sort of an auxiliary role in my regimen. I think it boils down to choices, though, Brian. We're talking about, you know, why today at 42 am I doing so much better than a lot of guys that aren't doing well, or even God rest their souls, guys that have already passed on. It's because of the choices I made, which were kind of unpopular back then, because I wasn't a guy who went out and drank or did drugs or partied or do anything. If anything, I'd go back to the room and play video games. That would be my thing, my tech stuff. And later on in WWE, it was more finding that gym, or, you know, my excitement was going to a town and seeing what gyms they had. And I had a couple other people like Kane and Charles Robinson and D'Lo Brown and Rosie that shared that. They're like, wow, we can't wait to see what gyms are in the next town. But I think it boils down to that. I made the choices, even something as simple as going to bed early and getting a good night's sleep. And then the bigger ones, like not doing drugs, not drinking, not doing the things that age you prematurely and in the end could cost you your life. That's why I'm still standing here and, knock on wood, hopefully, you know, getting better every day and trying to live healthier.
So you're the guy. When WWE says that they go to the show and then they go back to the room and play video games, you were the impetus for this statement.
Oh, it was incredibly unpopular back then. I'm well ahead of my time. I should have gotten into WWE about 2 or 3 years ago and hung out with all those guys. Because now, like, it used to not be cool to be a nerd. Now it's like not cool to be like a jock. And now I really don't fit in anywhere because I actually look a little like a jock. And I my personality is definitely one of a geek, of a nerd. So essentially everybody could like me, but in reality, really nobody likes me.
You know, we've had DDP on the show like a million times, and everybody knows DDP, and he would come on the show, and obviously, you know, he's plugging his yoga for a full 90 minutes, and I think he's a great guest. Some people, he drives them nuts because he's just like, oh my God, I'm sick of hearing about the yoga. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's a lot of people in wrestling that are doing DDP yoga and different types of yoga. And it's really helped them. We just had Jericho on, and he's talking about how I herniated discs in my back doing Dancing with the Stars. I'm feeling great now. I mean, what? Yeah. Tell us, I guess I'll let you plug DDP yoga. I mean, what has it done for you, and why is it so effective?
Well, I'll preface that with saying I was the same guy for a long time. Even though I would do Paige's workouts, I would say, okay, I'll get around to it. He'd always talk about it. And I'd be one of those guys like, oh, my God, this guy with the friggin' yoga, my God. And out of spite, I wouldn't do it. Like, a lot of people probably won't do it because, like, they think the delivery's too pushy. But Paige believes in it because Paige was backed into a corner just like everybody else that had done it. Every guy gets backed into a corner, Brian, with their health and fitness at a certain point where they have to adjust, or they're going to damage their joints even more. They're going to get more injuries. They're going to tear their tendons and ligaments. And the only workout regimen that really is the fountain of youth that really improves all those things I mentioned that can be debilitating is yoga. And the DDP yoga combines dynamic resistance, raises your heart rate within a really short amount of time, and does it with no impact whatsoever. And the way I explain it, a lot of guys think yoga, so the first thing you think is, oh my God, flexibility, I don't have it, I can't even touch my toes, I don't want to be in that stupid position with that yoga block. But the way I do it when I teach my classes is I flip it around, especially for the guys. I say your number one thing is your cardio. You're going to raise your heart rate. You're going to burn calories without any impact. And number two thing is dynamic resistance. You're really going to learn when you go to lift weights, if you lift weights the way we're going to do the slow burn reps, you're going to be more efficient when you even do that, and you're going to get a great workout here. And guess what happens when you combine those two? You increase your flexibility just by default. So when you flip it around, it sounds a lot more intense and interesting to guys when I explain it at least like that to them. And I'll give you, just talking about where I was back up against the wall, I went to a doctor back. I injured my knee actually the same night as Dreamer injured his when Bubba Ray knocked him off the ramp in TNA. I injured my knee in the same exact segment. And, you know, after a couple years of not getting it worked on or cleaned up or looked at, The doctor said, hey, listen, you're bone on bone, and you're going to be a candidate probably for a knee replacement because it's very painful. It locks out. I can't move my knee very well. My leg's starting to atrophy. And then I said, okay, I'm going to flip the switch. I'm going to do DDP yoga as my main workout. I'm going to do it for the next 3, 4, 5 months. I'm still going to lift weights and do cardio, but this is going to be the center of my workout. I did that, and probably doing the impact cardio along with it made the process even longer. But after about 3 or 4 months, I was completely pain-free in my left knee and still wrestling, felt even better, and that convinced me right there. This is the real deal. And then obviously the next step for me, being the obsessed person I am like BDP, I had to get certified and teach it and spread the word.
Now, those of us that do any training, I mean, when we were young, we lifted really heavy things.
Wait, are you in the Bowflex commercial, by the way?
No, that's different Brian Alvarez.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah, that's,
I always wondered that.
Yeah, that's not me. That's not me. But, you know, when we were young, we lifted a lot of heavy weights. And then, as you know, you start to get a little older and your body doesn't really like lifting those heavy weights anymore. And I guess just from what you've learned over the years, I mean, is the whole idea of lifting heavy weights when we're young, I mean, are we making a mistake at that point? I mean, should we be going easier throughout our lifetime? Or is this just something that guys are just going to go too heavy, and then later they're going to figure it out and go light, and they'd be better off if they just went light the whole time?
Well, it's interesting because right now I'm combining different workouts with DDP yoga. It's been a very experimental year with doing the P90Xs and some of the other stuff like Athlean X. And right now I'm using Body Beast on this 4-week cycle of the hybrid workout. But the next one I want to use, it's funny you mentioned that, it's called Dog Crap Training, DC Training. And it's a big claim to fame. Claim to fame is rest pause sets. So instead of doing 3 sets of 10, you do like whatever you can do maxed out for like 8. You take 15 deep breaths, which obviously the DDP yoga teaches you how to breathe, so I can pull that off and really get oxygen into my body. Then you go back in and you try to get another 3 to 5. Then the third set after those 15 breaths, you get maybe 1 to 3. So that's technically heavy lifting, but the principle, as long as you're safe with it, is a very effective one. Now, what you're talking about is we didn't know how to lift when we were young. So we threw our elbows up in the air on curls, and we banged the weight off our chest and locked our elbows out. That's where the young guys and girls make the mistake. They can lift heavy, but they're involving their joints way too much with the lift. Nobody ever teaches anybody how to lift properly at 16 to like 21 years old. Because guess what? We know everything. Then when we get to be our age, Brian, we're actually smart enough to know we don't know anything at all in the world. So we work out the proper way.
Is this the fault of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding that everybody read when they were young and our age now?
Yeah, they read that, except Arnold and the Joe Weider Bible was the original one.
That's right.
That one, but they don't say don't bang your joints when you work out. There's also another one that my friend Francesco has out there called Incredibody, which is a great, I think that's the number 2 all-time read for me outside of that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Joe Weider Bible.
Yeah.
It's very modernized, and he does preach nutrition, safety, and really trying to protect your body during the workout. He's a great guy, and he put together a great system.
You're 42 now?
Yeah.
So 2 or 3 years ago, I can't even remember the exact year, but you were in TNA, and you were doing the feud with Abyss. And I think on at least 2 occasions, you went through the thumbtacks. And when I think, okay, 42 minus 3, 39, so I'd be a year older than I am right now. My God, in a million years, I would never even think of bumping into thumbtacks. I mean, did this ever go through your mind, like, what am I doing?
Right when he googled me, yeah. but no, you know what it is? That thing, that the angle with a bit right there was exactly what I needed on so many different levels in my life and career and everything, because really after 9 years in WWE and however many years of just being the guy that when you come back from commercial day, you know, and they play the Marine trailer in the arena, and they come back from the commercial and you're in the ring, because nobody knows what's going to happen then. You know what I mean? And then debuting Chris Masters comes out. You know, everybody's pretty much betting money on him. So, you know, after 9 years of that and going to TNA and having them completely say, we want to start over and create this Dr. Stevie character, you run with it and we'll kind of like guide you through it. But, you know, I had two things that I was supposed to do. Number one, I was supposed to get over as a heel, which I think I did a good job of. And number two, and more importantly to me, I was supposed to make Abyss relevant, powerful, and basically into a monster again. And I think by the end of that whole deal, they wanted to see me go through the thumbtacks. They needed the people wanted to see a heel get beat up. It was the first time, I think, in a while that they had that kind of a connection with a babyface to beat a heel up. So it softened the blow because, you know, a lot of things in wrestling don't, but this made sense. I was finally getting what I deserved, and there was finally somewhat of a payoff at that particular chapter in our story. So it made it just a little, not much easier, but a little bit easier to take those bumps.
Have you, and I'm sure at least at some point you've seen the Joe Park character.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing because this is the hardcore, the monster Abyss. And he played, and he switched over to this Joe Park character, and whatever you think about a Joe Park character in wrestling is, you know, all of that aside, I mean, he did a tremendous job becoming a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Well, you know, Joe Park is an extension of his real personality, too. You know, he's a very nice, humble guy and very easy to get along with, almost like a big teddy bear. So that part of his personality was brought out on, you know, and he convinced people because he believed in himself. And they loved him for it. He believed the character, so the people are, too. I'm glad. Yeah, I didn't let you finish, though. I'm sorry.
No, I have nothing to add, except that I think that he did an awesome job playing that. Everything, even down to having to pretend like he didn't know how to work at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly, yeah, as the weeks went on, he I mean, the character's, you know, dead now, but it was, I thought he did a hell of a job with it.
Yeah, it's a lot better than the guys out there that can work and pretend like they can.
Yes. We've got a lot of Twitter questions. I want to get into some of these before we let you go.
Sure.
Here.
You want to answer the Benoit WrestleMania 20 question first? I seem to be the internet meme. I've never addressed that.
I always try to avoid the questions that everybody asks, but since you've never addressed it, supposedly.
Well, I just wonder if they're saying that because we were so similar in our wrestling ability, or they think I'm going to end up murdering my family one day. I don't know.
I like to think they just think you're one of the greatest workers there ever was.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I, your guess is as good as mine. I don't think I was anywhere near the worker Chris Benoit was. So, and I'm not going to kill my family in my life, so I don't know why they picked me out of anybody.
All right, let's jump into some of these.
You skipped right over it again.
I am skipping right over.
It has to be a gloss over, I know.
PS4 or Xbox One? Actually, you already kind of mentioned that, didn't you? The Xbox One.
I probably am going to get both, but here's what it breaks down to. If you're a gamer, PS4. If you want an all-in-one media device and you don't believe PSN, PlayStation Network, is going to be reliable, Xbox One. Because my Xbox Live has a proven infrastructure and, you know, for years and years and years, it's been very reliable. So a lot of people think that's important, and I'm one of those people as well.
Thank God that we asked that question, because I can't even believe I didn't even ask you this question until right now. Much more important than Chris Benoit. So the WWE Network is about to launch, and the big talk now is online-only streaming service, you know, probably connected with Netflix, sort of like a streaming service. If you got an Apple TV, Roku, whatever, you'll be able to stream it. And also talk that if you order a 6-month subscription at between 10 and 15 a month, you're going to get this year's WrestleMania for free, which you'd be able to stream. Now, you know more about this than I, but I've seen Ring of Honor, I've seen WrestleMania itself crash. And the idea that they want 1 million subscribers and 1 million people simultaneously streaming WrestleMania at the same time with no issues. I've had a few people emailing me and say, well, you know, this show did 3 million viewers live and this show did. But most of the people that email me are saying, man, you know, I got this streaming package and I've had issues here and there. What are your thoughts on this streaming WWE Network, and can it work?
I think if anybody can do it, they can definitely do it. Maybe they're using the NSA servers. There's plenty of those out there.
NSA servers.
I think. What's that? The NSA.
Yes.
In all seriousness, though, I think if anybody can do anything, and it's been proven time and time again, Vince will make it work. Vince will hire the best people out there, and Vince will not accept anything less than perfection. Will they get there right away? Well, they haven't with the other stuff. I've heard about pay-per-view problems with the Xbox and ordering through there. But, you know, that was probably a test run for the network, so I'm assuming they got the kinks worked out. You know, you got Joey Styles at the head of a lot of that stuff, too. And Joey's the same way, and Joey really cares about the product. So, well, he's not going to put out a half-assed product when it comes time to roll out.
Yeah, I think Andrew told me that the most streaming viewers that he's ever had for an event was 60,000 for an Apple release. And he said at 60,000, they crashed. And he was going through Ustream, which is a pretty big provider. So, I mean, I agree that, you know, they're not going to do this cheap. I mean, they've invested tens of millions of dollars into it, and I'm sure they're going to go to the, I'm sure they're going to use the best stuff possible, but I'm still, I don't know. I mean, the first year is the most important, you know what I mean? If in the first year they've got shows crashing here and there, I just think that's, they got to hit a home run out of the gate.
Yeah. Now, I assume, just like everything else, they will probably own technology as well. The only real way, and I know a little bit about this, just like Andrew does, the only way they can truly guarantee uptime is to have whatever they're going to have in-house or have something at their own location. You know, calling tech support doesn't help me watch WrestleMania if I'm a subscriber, right?
Sure.
So, but if somebody says it's not working, or, you know, you get to test that every day, every hour, every week, right before the show, you know, you just go down the hallway or to the next building in Stanford and go into the server room and test it. That's what's really going to make a difference, in my opinion, you know, whether it succeeds or fails.
As opposed to going through an outside company where you're just, you know, something goes wrong, you got to call them and hope they're open.
Yeah, I mean, God, how many millions of dollars are they going to have a contract with WWE? I think they'll be open all day.
You'd hope so.
24/7 for Vince.
You'd hope so, but I have cable through Frontier, which is a pretty damn big company, and I can't get a hold of them after 4 o'clock.
Yeah, but you don't pay them $15 million a month.
That's true. That's true.
And, you know, Vince likes to control everything, and you got to give him that. Why wouldn't he want to control and know what's going on? The guy, you know, people think he's out of touch and all this stuff. The guy still shows up every week to TV. The guy still wants to know what's going on. And I know from watching him, it's not just TV. It's everything going on in that company, even the mundane logistics and all that stuff. He wants to know. He still loves sports entertainment. He still especially loves WWE. And he's not going to let it go down you know, under his watch.
This person wants to know your opinion on Supernova's claim of move theft.
Supernova has a claim of move theft, or
it is ironic, theft. Isn't it?
Wait a minute. Did Supernova claim that I stole a move, or he finally admits he stole everyone else's move? I stole Kevin Nash's move. As a matter of fact, he puts in requests to do his moves while we're on the same indie shows.
How about that? Can you steal a move in pro wrestling, or is the entire idea of this concept just preposterous?
It's kind of preposterous, but I think old school stuff like, you know, if I were to do, I don't know, you know, if I were to do, I can't even think of it. The last time I could think of anything is when Randy Orton did the RKO, when Paige was still more known for doing the Diamond Cutter. And I think he called Paige, and Paige was like, yeah, man, that's cool. You know, I mean, it's stuff like that, common courtesy, professionalism, or professional courtesy to call the guy and say, hey, they want me to do this. Is it okay? I don't want any heat. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? The office wants you to do the move anyway, so you're going to do it if you want to get paid, but it's still good to call somebody and ask them.
This person here said,
I had no such access to Shawn Michaels and he's done, so I tried.
You tried to call, but he was unavailable at the time?
I already knew the answer, probably, so it was probably a good idea. I didn't get in touch with him.
That's right. Do you think Shawn Michaels is wrestling Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania this year?
I have no idea.
I think he is, but that's another matter entirely. He's denying it. He's retired, you know, of course, and he's denied it.
I heard the guys do that a few times. I've heard about it three or four Terry Funk retirement tours, as a matter of fact. They might actually be up to five or six.
I was going to say, Terry Funk's way above four or five. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, Carino's retired a couple of times, and unfortunately he's come back. So, yeah, there's been a couple guys.
And unfortunately, he's come back. Is there something you'd like to tell us about Carino?
Nothing you can't see with two eyes.
I see. Very interesting. All right. This person here says, was there a wrestler parody that you wanted to do that for whatever reason you never got a chance to do? Anybody you really wanted a chance to parody in your career?
Oh, you know, I actually got a chance to do it when I did the entrances for the SmackDown versus Raw games. I did a lot of motion capture, and I got to do a lot of guys' entrances and kind of imitate them there. As far as on TV and pay-per-view, no. I pretty much got to do everybody I ever thought I could do, and I never expected any of that anyway. That all just kind of grew organically, and got a chance to do it again in WWF, WWE. Not really a thing. It's just a fun thing to do. It's very entertaining.
Now, you, at this moment, are in fact a champion. You are the champion of Extreme Rising. And there is a world title match coming up on December 28th. It is you against a series of question marks, according to the website. And I've never seen this guy work, but we'll see how it goes. That's December. That's December 28th, and a couple days after Christmas. Are you looking forward to this show?
Yeah, it seems Mystery Opponent has had the most world title matches in the history of wrestling. So yeah, I'm going to be wrestling the Mystery Opponent on the 28th. I'm definitely looking forward to it. On a complete shoot, they still haven't told me who I'm working.
that's great.
Pretty funny, I guess. Yeah, pretty. I mean, I'm glad I can pretty much work with anybody because I'm probably going to have to just kind of do whatever. But I'm looking forward to actually the whole show. I'm always looking forward to every show, but. Yeah, the one match two of them, I'm really looking forward to, and it's a tie, is Sabu versus Facade and Luke Hawks versus Matt Hardy. Those two matches are going to be really good. So that Sabu versus Facade will be first time ever. So, and they're two good guys. I really like Facade. I've got the chance to see him work over the past couple of years, and he's really a great young talent. And even Luke Hawks, which personally don't really get along with the guy, but I really do enjoy working with him in the ring, and I really like watching it because he stands out from so many other guys. It's almost like the reason why he's not in WWE is the reason why he's so over with a lot of people who watch him, because he doesn't fit that cookie-cutter wrestler, and he doesn't act like one, and he's very foul-mouthed and doesn't care what anybody thinks. And in the political world of wrestling, that doesn't really fly in those times.
Devin Storm is working this show.
Yes, against Rhino. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I hadn't heard his name in a long time, actually. I guess he did the One Night Only show, but it's been years since have you talked to him? I mean, how's he doing?
Oh, he's doing great. He's got his own physical therapy practice, and I keep in touch with Danny Doring. Me and him are best friends, so he tells me how the hell Crowbar's doing. He has been wrestling quite a bit for Extreme Rising, though. He had some... the match of the night with Jerry Lynn at the first show that won in April when they came back the first time as Extreme Reunion.
Yeah.
And then he wrestled Rhino in the semifinals last December for the title, and that was a great match, too. So he wrestles whenever – I mean, he's not flying around the world. He has a family and a practice. So, but whenever it's in the area, I know he wrestles a lot. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
The show takes place at the arena in Philadelphia on December 28th, which for a while there had been shut down, but it's obviously back in action now. And extremerising.com is the website. And as noted, Stevie Richards will be defending the world title on that show against a man who literally, aside from the promoters, I hope at this point, have no idea who he's wrestling because it is
a
mystery.
Let's be fair, though, Brian. It might be a woman, too. In this day and age, you never know.
I hadn't thought of
that. They might throw that on me. They might throw one of those on me. I've been known to have intergender tag matches and intergender singles matches in that building.
Well,
first ever man versus woman match with Luna, remember?
Since you mentioned it, if you could have a match for the Extreme Rising World Heavyweight Championship against any woman in the world, who would that be?
It would probably be Victoria. because I think if there's anybody out there that really have a believable match with a man and still had the personality, plus their story behind it with us being together in WWE, I think that would be perfect.
Well, she's available.
I still beat her ass, but I mean, you know,
she is available right now, as I believe is Mickie James.
I don't know about, she looks a little crazy. Crazier than Victoria. I don't know about fighting her.
I see. No crazy women.
I'm really afraid of crazy women. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Why would we not believe that? I'm afraid of crazy women.
Good. That's why we keep surrounding ourselves by them.
I guess in wrestling, it's kind of like they're attractive, you know?
That's true.
Of the deal? A lot of fans love AJ Lee and, you know, crazy thing. All right, let's do some plugs here, obviously. You've got, besides ExtremeRising.com, I want to give you a chance to plug any of your stuff. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on, so the floor is yours.
Sure. They can go to my tech site. It's T as in Tom, the number 4, show, SHOW.com. Going to try to bring some live shows back if we can. If not, there's plenty of review videos on our YouTube channel. And also, you can follow me on Facebook for the DDP Yoga. I just created a Facebook page. It's called Stevie Richards DDP Yoga. And it's got over almost 1,000 likes after a week. So thank you for everybody for doing that. You know, and if anybody has any questions about DDP Yoga, they can email me, stevie@ddpyoga.com. See, I'm a big shot now. They gave me an email and everything.
Wow.
And I go everywhere I wrestle. I try to take the opportunity to go out and to gyms and teach the DDP Yoga, or even do it right before the show in the building. And it's been pretty successful every time I wrestle. I'm going to try to bring it that day, if I can, or the day before, to the Philadelphia area before Extreme Rising. So weather permitting, I'll be teaching some DDP Yoga classes.
Let me ask one thing real quick about DDP Yoga before we wrap it up, since you mentioned it. What was the what was the process of getting certified in DDP Yoga? And now that you are certified, I mean, is it just you can run classes as a certified DDP Yoga instructor? Did you do it specifically for these meetups before shows, or tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the written part is a test, so you have to do that, obviously. But there's also a practical side, a much more practical side than the written. The practical side is you're going to have to do 100 hours of the workout, and also you're going to have to teach a group of people, which I always, every time I ever did the yoga, I would bring a lot of the other wrestlers around, and we do it together, where I would teach, you know, there and there, correct their form on some stuff. And DDP had seen that and heard about it, saw the pictures. And then eventually I turned in a full workout where I did all the audio cues and everything, and I turned it into the Yoga Doc and DDP. At the end, I went to Atlanta myself on Labor Day weekend, and I spent the entire day basically being practical exam. You know, they took me through a practical exam for the Diamond Dozen and everything. And Paige actually he sprung a little thing on me. I was doing my practical in front of him. You know, it's pretty intimidating. He can intimidate you sometimes. So I'm doing the practical exam. I'm doing really well. Yoga Doc is very happy with it. And then Paige goes, "Oh, hey, by the way, bro, we're gonna record all these things, and you're gonna be the person that does the tutorial for the instructors." I was like, "Well, thanks for letting me know." He's like, "I just thought of it." So when the instructors get certified, I'm the one that's gonna be taking them through the Diamond Dozen, which I think is a very, very humbling and very, very cool opportunity that DDP gave me. Other than that, you know, it's just a matter of doing the workout. And if you do the workout for 100 hours, which you think about 100 workouts, maybe a little more than that, you've already changed your body. You've already gotten to the next level. You've already become comfortable with it. And you're kind of craving for a little bit more from the system. So it's a natural time and place for somebody to want to get certified or go to the level 1 workout, which is what I teach, wherever I go. So there is a different DDP Yoga workout coming in 2014, along with, I should mention this for everybody out there, they're coming out with an app next year too. So you'll be having an iPhone app for sure, and possibly an Android app as well.
About that. Well, if you have questions, everybody, stevie@ddpyoga.com, and he will do what he can to help you out. And Stevie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do the show today. I know you got a lot going on, but thanks so much. And best of luck with everything, and I hope they find a great female opponent for you on December 28th.
That's like your personal little slamming ladies kind of like request, huh?
That's right. That's right. And of course, thank you everybody for listening, and check it all out, and we shall talk to you again after a while.